This is Church Alive's Teaching of the Week by Pastor Gene Amoson. For additional teachings or information about the church, go to churchalive.net.
Are y'all ready to get into the Word today?
Yeah.
Amen. 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 Well, listen, with it being a new year, is anybody trying to improve anything in their life?
Yeah.
Okay, four of us. Good. The rest of you are good to go. I'm trying to improve some things in my life. I don't know about y'all, but I feel like from November till about last week, I have been completely out of control. And whenever I say that, my schedule's out of whack. My sleep's off schedule. You know, you just have a lot of things that pop up, whether it's family things, just other obligations. And I don't know about y'all, but also in that roughly 60-day window, I did not say no to any food that presented itself. Come on, y'all there with me? Praise the Lord. We know that we will try to work it off afterwards, right? And so maybe with it being a new year, maybe you're trying to make some improvements. Maybe it's got to do with your health. Maybe you want to be a little more active. Maybe you want to get more sleep, and that's a good thing. Rest is needed, right? Maybe you're trying to read more, and I just want to give a big shout out to all of our folks that have said, yeah, we're going to read through the Bible together this year. But I also want to say this to you. If you've already kind of gotten behind, don't beat yourself up. You know, I talked to somebody the other day that said, man, I'm a few days behind. I said, well, just pick up today. So whatever it is that you're trying to do to improve, you know, resolutions, goals, there's nothing wrong with them. But often, y'all, resolutions and changes that we try to make in our lives, they won't stick because they're focused on external changes and not actually internal transformation. So today we're going to kick off our new series, and what we're calling it is First Things First. And so in these coming weeks, we're going to talk about priorities. With it being a new year, we need to talk about priorities. And the reality is, if they're out of order, then life is out of order. Life's out of order. We can hustle more. We can work harder. We can try more. But if the foundation is wrong, it's just going to collapse. We can try all we want, but the foundation's got to be right. And y'all, the foundation of everything, I need somebody to say everything, is putting God first. It's putting God first. The truth is that whenever you said yes to God, whenever you came into a relationship with God, whenever you asked him to be your Lord, whenever you asked him to save you, then he should have gone to number one on your list. Whenever you say, oh, that was better than how y'all responded right there. He should have become number one on your list, amen? Because you said, I accept your gift of salvation, and based on everything that he did for us to give us salvation, should he not be number one in our lives, right? And so he should naturally be there if we're believers, if we're Christians. And Christians don't struggle with whether God's important because we can all agree that he's important. The struggle is he first? Is he first? Because important means that he has a spot in our life. First means that he has the number one spot in our life. And there's a big difference in between the two. I mean, let's just think about it for a minute. Your job's important, but is it first? Your hobbies, I mean, hobbies can be important, but are they first? Here's the hard one, your children. They're important, and we want to be good parents. We want to raise the children that God's given us, and we want to do a good job and be good stewards of our children. But they were never meant to be first. I want you to hear me today. They were never meant to be first. And the truth is that whenever God isn't first, everything else, it fights for that top position. Whenever he's not first, everything else fights for the top position. And your life becomes chaotic because nothing was designed to function in his place. Nothing was. Jesus gave us this beautiful promise in Matthew 6, verse 33. This is my verse. It says, but seek first. I need somebody to say first. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Now, real quick, it says, seek the kingdom first. Jesus didn't say second, didn't say third. He didn't say, seek the kingdom whenever you have an opportunity and life slows down for you. He said, seek it when? First. Seek it first. And by the way, your translation on that middle part, where it says, and his righteousness, your translation may say, and live righteously. But he says, seek first the kingdom of God. And then he gives us this amazing promise on the back end of this verse. He says, and all these things will be added to you. And what he's saying is listen, if you put me first, I'm going to take care of the rest. I'm going to take care of the rest. Doesn't that sound like a pretty good deal right there? If we put him first, then everything else underneath, right, the number 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 priorities, he's going to take care of all those. Too many times, though, we try to flip it. What we do is we try to take care of all the other things that life throws at us. We try to do it ourselves. We try to fix it ourselves. We try to make it work ourselves. And then we give God the leftovers whenever, if we would just put him at the top and go for him, go all out for him, then he would make sure that those other things were taken care of. And so we run ourselves ragged. And what we find in the process is that we're stressed. We find that we're anxious. We find that we're broke. We find that we're struggling. We're just completely overwhelmed because we're trying to do it all. We're trying to do it all. And he said right here in Matthew 6, focus on me and let me take care of those things for you. That's a really good promise. And so today, what I want to do is I want to look at three truths about putting God first so that our foundation is right. And of course, our key scripture today is Matthew 6:33. I love this verse. And by the way, I just want to throw in just kind of a thought about this verse as well. Where it says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, or again, in your translation, it may say, and live righteously. Let me ask you a question real quick. Has anybody ever felt like, yeah, I'm a Christian, but I'm a pretty not so great Christian? Anybody ever felt that way before? Here's the truth. Whenever you seek the kingdom of God, you will naturally start looking more and more like Jesus each day. Just a little bit more and more and more like Jesus every day. So seek the kingdom of God, and it's going to improve your life. Amen. So our three truths about putting God first so that our foundation is right. The first one is this, is that God demands first place. He demands first place. I don't know about you. I'm not a big fan of the word demand. Anybody else? Let me just tell you something. If your spouse would have got up this morning and looked at you and said, I demand that you do this, you would have been like, back off, honey. Right? I mean, can y'all imagine starting your morning like that? Not a good way to start the day, right? Words like that, we're not big fans of as humans. A lot of folks, you know, in our country, they don't like to be told what to do. Obviously, turn on the news for 5 minutes and you'll see that a lot of people have an issue with authority, right? But hear me, I want you to understand, God is not competing for a spot in your life. He's not interviewing for it. He's not trying out for it, hoping that he can be number one. You need to hear me. He is God Almighty, the creator of the universe, the one that created you. I want you to understand he demands first place. And look at what he told Moses in Exodus 20. He said, Moses, you shall have no other gods. Come on, somebody say no other gods. No other gods before me. And by the way, this is the first of the Ten Commandments, right? This is the very first one. And whenever we look at like no other gods, he wasn't talking about just like Baal and all these other, you know, false gods. He was saying, you can't have anything else ahead of me, Moses. And that's for us as well. We can't have our career in front of God. We can't have anything else in front of God. We can't have our hobbies in front of God, our money in front of God. We can't have our spouse, our mom, our dad, our kids. Nothing can be in front of God. He won't share his throne with anything or anyone. That's just the truth. And Jesus goes on to confirm what we just read in Matthew 22 whenever he says this in verse 37. He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart. Somebody say all. All your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. It's the first and greatest commandment. God doesn't want a piece of me or a piece of you. He wants every bit of us. He wants every bit of us. And you may be thinking to yourself this morning, well, Pastor Gene, that sounds just a little bit selfish, doesn't it? I mean, God demands to be first. He wants all of me. He wants all my attention. Can I go ahead and just say this? He is God, and you may be asking, why does he have to be first? I want you to hear me today. You need him to be first. Okay, you need him to be first because he is the only one who can handle that position. Nobody else can handle being first in your life. And let's just talk about this just for a minute. Like, for instance, if you put your spouse first, let's just think about this. You are putting pressure on them that they were never, ever designed to carry. Your spouse can't handle that pressure. Let's talk about this just for a minute as well. Y'all know our identity comes from Jesus as believers, right? We find our identity in him, not in anyone else. We've talked to people before that they have such a desire to be married or such a desire to be in a relationship, and they feel like they will never be fulfilled or they'll never be happy until they have a significant other or until they have a spouse. I want you to understand you are putting a lot of pressure on that person. You need to understand that. And a lot of times what you'll find is that once you get into a relationship, it's not as dreamy as you thought it would be. Let's use a female as an example. You get married and you've desired to be married forever, but all of a sudden it's not like an episode of The Bachelor, right? I mean, he's not perfect. You spend a little bit of time with him and you realize that weird noises come from his body. And maybe he can be a little sloppy. And maybe he leaves his underwear on the floor and it drives you nuts. Okay, I'm going to tell a story on my parents that nobody has ever heard from this stage before. But they've gone to be with Jesus and they can't get mad for me because they're in the presence of God right now. Y'all are going to love this. My parents, the true story, this is exactly the way the story goes. Whenever my parents got married, they got married at First Baptist McGee. They went to the coast. Their honeymoon was one night on the coast at Holiday Inn. And Dad told me that they came home from the Holiday Inn with $17 to their name. They were broke. I mean, they had, that was it, right? Dad was Mr. Dreamy until the trip home. And he broke wind in the car. For the very first time in front of my mom on the way back from the honeymoon. Mom did not speak to him for hours. You're eventually going to be let down, ladies. It's not perfect, right? So if you put that pressure on your spouse, it's more pressure than they can handle. Whenever you put your kids first, you make them your idol, and ultimately you mess them up. You know, whenever everything revolves around them and you're so protective of them and they can't do anything wrong, you're messing them up down the road, amen? Whenever you put your job first, your identity comes from your career, and what happens is it crashes whenever it doesn't end up fulfilling you. God's the only one strong enough to be first in your life. He's the only one that's able to do it. And whenever he is, everything falls into place. Let's think about the Old Testament just for a minute and the children of Israel. Here's an example I want us to think about. Israel was in the wilderness. The Lord had delivered them out of Egypt. They were in captivity for 400 years. The Lord brings them out, over 1 million people, and he's got the land of promise that he wants them to get to. Okay? Now, we got to remember this, that whenever they were obedient to do what the Lord said, whenever they prioritized him and put him first, that they saw victory. But whenever they weren't obedient, which means they were selfish and they were doing whatever they wanted to do and they put themselves first, it caused them to wander for years in the wilderness. They were not able to get to the place of promise, the land of promise, that the Lord had for them. And then we can think about this. Whenever they conquered Jericho, God said, I want all the silver, I want all the gold from Jericho, it's mine. And that was the first city that they went to conquer. And so anything that you get from there, it belongs to me, is what God said. Here's what God was doing. He was saying, give me the first and I'll bless the rest, right? So they saw success whenever they put God first, but then they go in, and as we know with the story of Jericho, the walls crumble, they go in, the Lord said, everything's mine. And there's one guy by the name of Achan. And Achan has a moment where he just kind of goofs up and he sees something that he wants. And rather than putting God first and being obedient to God, because that's part of putting God first is obedience, right? Rather than doing that, he did his own thing. He kept some of it for himself. And then we see that Israel actually lost the next battle that they had because of one man's sin, one man putting himself first. And so it actually affected the entire nation. I just want to share this with somebody. I want you to understand, husbands, wives, whenever you're not putting God first, you need to understand that it affects more than just you.
That's right.
It will affect your children. It will affect future generations. This is why we need to be so, so fired up to seek God and to put him first. Like Joshua said, chapter 24, as for me and my home, we will serve the Lord. We will put God first. And then we see that Joshua's generations were blessed as a result. Amen. But whenever God is first, y'all, he blesses the rest. He blesses the rest. Whenever he's second, whenever he's third, things don't work out the way they're supposed to. All right. Number two, putting God first is a daily decision. It's a daily decision. Maybe you heard the first point about how God demands first place and you're like, okay, God's first, right? You said, okay, I agree. God should be first. Well, that's not quite enough. It's one thing to say it, but then you got to do it, right? You got to do it. Putting God first isn't a one-time prayer. It's actually a daily decision. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 31, Paul said these three words. He said, I die daily. That's an interesting few words right there. He said, I die daily. What was Paul talking about? He was talking about every day he had to crucify his flesh. Every day he had to put his agenda on the back burner. Every day he had to put his desires on the back burner. Every day it was about, God, what do you have for me to do today? And so putting God first is literally daily death to self. And I think we can all agree that that's really hard to do because we have so much going on in life. And a lot of times spending quality time with the Lord, because we know we need to do that, right? We need to spend time with the Lord to build the relationship. Sometimes we feel like we just don't have time to do it. It's one more thing that we've got to do during the day. But I want to tell you today, whenever we start our day with him, you know, he'll redeem, he'll bless the rest of the time. He'll bless it. Whenever you go to the Gospels, and a good example of this is Mark 1:35, you'll see that Jesus started his day by spending time with the Father. It'll talk about how he got up early and he would go to a secluded place to spend time with the Father. Now here's Jesus. Jesus, the Son of God, daily spending time in prayer with the Father. That's awesome. But I got to ask you this question. If he needed to spend time with the Father, y'all think we need to spend time with the Father?
Yes.
Come on, somebody. I mean, he was the Son of God, right? And that's the way he started his day every day. And the truth is that if we look at our schedule, just like kind of our daily schedule, our weekly schedule, our monthly schedule, we can easily see where our real priorities are. But if God isn't getting the first part of our day, y'all, I want you to understand he's not first in our lives. And this isn't condemnation. I'm just trying to help you. Things work better whenever God is first. They work better whenever God's first. Now, maybe today you're here and you're stressed, and maybe you're here today and you're overwhelmed. Because again, I know life's hard. It is. But what if the reason you feel that way is because you're trying to do everything and God's not where he needs to be? Remember, we talked about Matthew 6 just a little while ago. Rather than just really dialing it in and going all after God and putting God first and him blessing everything else, we're trying to do all this over here by ourselves. And as a result, we're just wearing ourselves out. When again, Jesus himself promised us, listen, just seek the kingdom of God. Seek me and let me take care of the rest of this. I mean, we're trying to make ends meet. We're trying to do so much for our kids. We have so many obligations, but Jesus is saying, seek after me and let me take care of these things for you. Whenever we seek him first, what we're doing is we're saying, God, I trust you with the rest. Whenever we go after God, for instance, giving him the first part of our day, God, I trust you with the rest. Now, let's talk about giving the first part of our day to God for a minute. The truth is, if we're going to spend time with God, it needs to be early in the morning, because once the day gets going, it's going, isn't it? I mean, it gets hectic. Y'all know what I'm talking about. It's easy sometimes to say, well, I'm going to go to the office and I'll spend some time with the Lord. But then the phone starts ringing, and then you make the mistake of checking your email. And then after that, it's just shot. Y'all have been there, right? So we really need to spend time with the Lord first thing, first, right? The way we do that is by setting our alarm clock early. I know, I don't like the sound of that either, okay? Like, to say, get up an extra 20 minutes early, 30 minutes early, I don't like that. My alarm goes off every morning at 4:35, and I'm not even a fan of that. And to say, get up at 4 o'clock, I want to be like, I rebuke you right now, right? I mean, no. But all that to say, if we're going to spend time with God, the truth is, if we don't see a time in the morning that works, we've just got to set our alarm earlier. But let's think about this. Whenever we do that, whenever we give him that first part of our day, what we've done is we've invited him to bless the rest of our day. And he will. God, whenever we give him the first, he blesses the rest. And y'all, this whole principle right here, it applies to so many areas of our life. Whether it's our finances, whether it's our time, whatever it is, whenever we put him first and we give him the first part of, for instance, our day, he redeems the rest. And I got to say, just maybe we'll just use a simple half hour as an example. Giving God a half hour blesses that other 23 and a half hours. Rather than us having maybe a chaotic day, whenever we give God the first part of our day, I've seen it in my life, the day just goes smoother. God just works things out. God gives me more clarity as a result. God, it just seems like God is just in the middle of all the situations. I mean, I can say that from experience myself. So putting God first is a daily decision. So we've got to spend time with him. But then in addition to that, and I mentioned this just a moment ago, we've got to be obedient to what he says throughout the day. Because Paul alluded to this whenever he said, I die daily. He was saying, I put my agenda just on the back burner. God, whatever you would have for me. And that's got to be our attitude as well. You know, Lord, what would you have me do today? And let the Holy Spirit reveal to you. And you know, anytime you're obedient to say yes to what God tells you to do, it's just going to bless your socks off. You're going to be so glad that you did. Amen. You're going to be so glad that you did. Our third thing today is this, is that everything else falls into place whenever God's first. Everything else falls into place whenever God is first. And let's go back to the amazing promise of Jesus in Matthew 6. He says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things. Come on, y'all say all these things with me. All these things shall be added to you. Now, what are all these things? We've kind of discussed some of them today. Just in case you didn't know, if you back up in chapter 6 and you look at when Jesus was speaking this, he's talking to a group of people, and you'll actually see that he was referencing like clothing, he was referencing food, he was talking about just provision that they needed, things that were very important to the group that he was talking to there in person. And what he was saying was, is y'all, you don't have to worry about all this stuff. It's going to be okay. Just seek me first and I'll take care of it. And that's what he's saying to us today. Some of you, you're just wondering how things are going to work out, and you're working so hard to try to make things happen. I just want to tell you today, seek the kingdom of God first, and he's going to just make things work for you. I promise you, he will. It's his promise. Yeah. Now, that doesn't mean that life's going to be problem-free, though. How many of y'all know we live in a world that's not just perfect, right? It's got its problems. It doesn't mean that everything's going to be perfect. I mean, we're going to deal with opposition at times. We're going to deal with frustration at times. But here's the thing. It does mean that we're going to have his presence around us whenever we're going through anything that we're going through like that. So, for instance, whenever there's chaos in the world, or even chaos at work or just chaos in some area of our life, we can have his peace on us whenever he's first in our life. He's going to take care of those things. Whenever we don't know what to do in a situation and we just completely feel lost, we can have his wisdom. We can have his wisdom. Why? Because we're putting him first. We can have his provision whenever we just have no idea how we're going to make ends meet. Why? Because we've put him first. Whenever God's first order comes to our lives, things that feel impossible, we realize that they are possible. Amen? Relationships. Did y'all know our relationships will improve whenever we put God first? Your finances, they'll go further whenever you put God first. You'll have clarity about your calling. You'll begin to live with purpose, again, whenever he is first. And I want you to understand he's a God of order, and that's the reason it works out. Whenever he's first, he gets all these other things in order in your life, and he just basically puts his hand of blessing on them. Whenever they're in there, or whenever he's in his rightful place, everything else just lines up. But whenever God isn't first, your priorities, they're out of whack. Whenever God isn't first, we can make some poor decisions. Anybody ever made some poor decisions before? God wasn't where he needed to be, and so we're not thinking right. That's just the truth. We're not thinking right. Whenever God isn't first, you're running on empty, trying to do all this stuff, and you're not connected to the source. You need to be connected to the source. You need him, again, to be number one in your life. Now, back to the Old Testament. I talked about it just a minute ago. Let's talk about the Israelites one more time. The Lord asked them to bring the first fruits of their harvest to him, back in the Old Testament. And then Proverbs 3 speaks to us. Verse 9 says, honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase, so that your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. This is a great verse. Probably a lot of y'all have heard this. But let's talk about the word first fruits here. It means that God wanted from the Israelites the first. Somebody say the first. The first. He promised that whenever they would give him the first, that he would bless the rest. That he would bless the rest. And that principle applies to our lives as well. Again, as we give him the first, he'll bless the rest. And we just read about that in Proverbs. So for instance, if we give God the first part of our day, he will bless the rest of the day. If we give God the first of our income, he'll bless the rest of our finances. If we give God the first place in our heart, he'll order the rest of our lives. It's what he does. Putting him first, again, puts everything else in order, and he'll put his hand of blessing on it. How many of y'all want his hand of blessing on the rest of our lives? Amen? On all these other things that we've been trying to do on our own and fix on our own. Let me ask you a question today, and let's just get honest for a minute. Is God truly first in your life? Let's think about it just for a minute. Is he truly first in your life, or is he just first on Sunday mornings whenever you say, okay, I'm going to get up and go to church? Is this the day that he's first, or come tomorrow morning, is he going to be first? Be honest with yourself. With your time, is he first? With your decision-making, is he first? With your finances, is he first? Whenever he's at the center of your life, whenever he's first. Okay, whenever he's first, things will look different in your life. Good news is they'll look better. They'll improve. They'll improve. Your marriage will look different. It'll look better than your friends' marriages that they're not putting God first in their marriages, right? It'll improve. Your home will look different. The atmosphere of your home will improve. Your finances truly will look different. That whole principle of God blesses the rest, it's a real thing, right? Your peace, the peace that you have. You know, a lot of people say, I have peace, but God gives us this peace that just, as the word says, it surpasses all understanding. We can be walking through the hardest period of our life, but have this peace whenever other people would be losing their minds, and just be able to rest in God, knowing that He's taking care of us. And He's the only one that can bring that. We can't bring that peace ourselves by trying to do everything ourselves. Whenever we give Him full control, then we will experience that peace that, again, just surpasses all understanding. And so today, maybe some of us in this room, for the first time, need to put God first. For the very first time. Maybe you've never truly surrendered your life to Him. And whenever I say surrendered your life to Him, truly made Him Lord of your life. Now, I want to say this. I have this big concern that a lot of people have just quickly recited a prayer and felt like they're good with God. I want you to know it's more than just repeating some words. I need you to hear me today. It's more than just repeating some words. You see, part of following Jesus is to make Him truly Lord, to give Him lordship of your life. And what does that look like? That looks like putting Him first. Kind of like what Paul said. All of a sudden, your priorities change. All of a sudden, your agenda changes. It's putting Him first. Based on what He did for us, giving His life for us, let me just tell you, I think He deserves first place. Does He not? But it's putting Him first and making Him Lord in our life. Or maybe you're here today and you just need to make Him first again. Again, whenever He's first, things work out better. Whenever He's Lord, then that makes Him first in your life. In the book of Revelation, chapter 2, Jesus speaks to the church in Ephesus, and He says this. He says, "I have this against you, that you've left your first love. Remember, therefore, where you have fallen, repent and do the first works." Your translation may say, repent and do the things that you first did. Maybe you're here today and some of you've kind of left your first love. Maybe you used to have time with the Lord and you used to pray and you used to really feel like you had real fellowship with the Lord. Maybe you worshiped. Maybe you really prioritized the kingdom of God, but you just feel like you've lost that passion. There's times where I'm reminded of moments that I've had with the Lord that were life-changing. Maybe you've got one of those moments, and as you look back, you remember it, and you're like, oh yeah, I remember that. I remember that moment whenever the Lord met me, and I remember what I was going through, and I remember just the feeling of His presence. Maybe some of you have that, and you need to just dwell on that memory of just God's goodness in your life. And maybe you can look back and you can say, yeah, I've been off base, but it's now time to go back and to put God first, to get back to that first love, because that's what He's doing. He's calling us all back to our first love today. Church, I want to challenge you today to literally beginning this week to let's start to give God the first part of our day every day. And again, I mentioned it just a minute ago, getting up any earlier, I know it's hard for a lot of you, and I know a lot of you already do it. I love the fact that I walk into the, I get up at 4:35 and Regina gets up earlier than me, and I walk into the living room and she's already in her word. I mean, she's a great example of that, and I know a lot of y'all already do it, but for some of those of you who don't, this is the time to start now. To start now, to just start to get up earlier and spend more time with the Lord. No phone, no distractions, just you and God. And then I just want to say this, watch what He does in your life. Just watch how His hand of blessing just works in those other areas of your life. Your day is going to change. Your attitude's going to change. Your life is going to change. Amen? Amen. Y'all, this is the foundation for everything that we're going to talk about in these coming weeks. It all starts here. Whenever we get this right, whenever we put Him first, then we're going to see everything else fall into place. We're going to see just our lives completely blessed, just blow in our minds. Amen? All right, if you will today, let's just bow our heads. Let's just close our eyes just for a moment. Father, we thank You, God, for Your word today. Lord, we thank you that you don't just want a piece of us, God, you want all of us, Lord. Lord, we thank you that whenever we give you first place, that God, you'll take care of the rest. God, you will bless the rest. Father, we ask today that you help us seek you every day, God. There's always distractions and stuff that pop up, but God, we just claim that, Lord, starting, Father, tomorrow, for instance, that we're going to be able to give you that first part of the day. Lord, we're going to have fellowship with you, God. We're just going to have some great time in prayer, Lord, getting to know you in your word. And Father, as a result, that Lord, again, we're just going to grow closer to you, God. We're just going to see your blessings in our life. God, we stand on the promise spoken by Jesus in Matthew 6:33, God. We're going to seek the kingdom of God, and we're going to see you work in our lives, taking care of everything else. Lord, we want to seek you first. We want to put you first, Lord, every day and every decision, God, in every area of our life. Father, we love you. We surrender everything to you. In Jesus' name. With your head still bowed and your eyes closed, let me just talk to you for a minute. Just a couple of minutes ago, I mentioned that maybe some of you, you're here and you've never put God first before in your life. I want you to understand, Jesus loves you more than you can ever imagine. You may have walked into this place feeling like nobody on earth loves you. You may feel like nobody cares about you. I want you to understand, he is so concerned about you. And you need to understand that he gave his life for you. We all have a sin problem. Every one of us have messed up. And because of our sin issue, honestly, we deserve to be hellbound, every one of us. But God loved us so much that he sent Jesus, just read John 3:16, to give his life for us, to fix our sin problem, past, present, and future. Even your future sins, Jesus, he's already taken care of them. And so Jesus offers you his gift of salvation today. Some of you, you may be here and you have no hope in your life. Some of you, you're here and you feel like you don't even know why you're on this planet. I want you to understand, God loves you so much. He has a plan for your life. He wants you to wake up every day and have a reason to live, a reason to put a smile on your face. You're not going to find true happiness. You're not going to find true hope in anyone else or anything else but Jesus Christ. I'm here to tell you today, it's the truth. So maybe you're here today and you're like, Pastor Gene, I want to make him Lord of my life. I want to make him first. We can pray with you today. Or maybe you're here and, again, I spoke to you just a moment ago. Maybe there was a moment whenever you were close with God. Maybe you remember that moment where you really had an encounter with God, but you've just kind of gotten off track. And you say today, yeah, I got to get back where I need to be with God. I've got to put him first again. If that's you today and you just want to recommit your life today, we want to pray with you as well. So today, just real quickly, I just want to ask you, if you said yes to either one of those questions that I asked for the first time or want to recommit your life to the Lord, if that's you today, and again, all our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, it's just me and you, would you just quickly lift your hand just to show me and to show God that you mean business today? Amen. That's a lot of hands. Come on, somebody. Come on, anybody else? Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, listen, you can put your hands back down. We're going to pray today. If you will, just repeat this prayer after me, and then Pastor Jack's going to come up and kind of wrap things up. Let's all just pray it together. Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner, and I repent of my sins today. I ask you for your forgiveness. I believe you died for me and rose from the dead. I declare you are Lord of my life. Today I commit to trust and follow you as my Lord and as my Savior. Come on, can we give God some praise today? Amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Church Alive Teaching of the Week with Pastor Gene Amoson. We invite you to join us for our Sunday morning worship service every Sunday at 8:45 or 10:30. Learn more at churchalive.net.